Hi, I'm Christopher Moore. I'm the author of 15 novels, including Lamb and Secondhand Souls, and I'm close personal friends with the Court of Nerds.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another scintillating episode of Court of Nerds, the only podcast that has to sleep with the lights on at night. I'm Drew.
I'm Jen.
And we are your Court of Nerds. Joining us this week, we've thrown out the news, we've thrown out the formats. Why? Well, when you get two guests that are this good-looking, you let them do whatever the hell they want. Yeah, that's right, Mark, I said it, and I have no regrets about it. Mark Hodges and Brittany Stigler, B-Stick from Comic-Con, Grand Rapids style. We are so excited. We're glad we got you guys right before busy season really kicks in hardcore for you guys, because we are right around the corner. Grand Rapids Comic-Con, of course, the sponsor of this wonderful podcast that you're listening to, is October 20th through the 22nd at the DeVos Place and the Amway Grand right here in beautiful Grand Rapids, Michigan. Yes. And, of course, you can get your tickets right now, grcomiccon.com. Go check it out, please. And like them on Facebook. Follow them on Twitter for all of the latest info, including guests that get announced at the last minute.
Yeah.
But yep. Let's start with the guests that are announced. And I want to start with the Batman the Animated Series mini reunion.
Yes.
This is super cool, especially to me, because Batman the Animated Series, and John, I think you're with me on this, was such a big part of developing me as a nerd when I was a kid. And now you've got four of the original voice characters that are all going to be involved, and they're going to be doing a panel with the guy who literally wrote the book on the series.
Four of them. So, yeah, I mean, you know, the big thing about that I'm enjoying about it is we got one of the really rare ones. I know people were complaining that we didn't get the guy who played Batman because of the Wizard World exclusive that he signed, and Mark Hamill. You should have seen the bill.
We
got Adrienne Barbeau, which is really neat. She's very rare. This is only going to be her second con appearance in 4 years, and so that's really neat, and we know she's coming. She's looking forward to it. I spoke to her management just last week and looking forward to it. And, you know, and the thing is, I think the panel is going to be really cool because of having Ken Johnson doing the panel, because he knows it. You know, it's written four books in the subject, for crying out loud. I mean, it was sort of a no-brainer when we were doing this and who was going to run the panel. You know, at least we were hoping he'd say yes, but it turned out that wasn't a problem.
Yeah.
So, and he's going to release his fourth book. He actually released the cover of it just last week, which is pretty cool. And he's hoping to have a omnibus available, which will have all four books in one big, giant hardcover. So I'm encouraging people to pick it up.
Yeah, you absolutely should pick it up. It's a great book, and it's going to be a great omnibus. I love an omnibus. I don't know about you, B-Stick. I'm big on the giant collections of everything.
I just like the name.
You just like saying omnibus?
Omnibus.
Fair enough.
It's fun.
That's
fun.
Omnibus.
I just know I've got to keep B-Stick awake. You've been up since, what, 3 a.m.?
3 a.m.
And you chugged a Red Bull before we started?
I did. I literally chugged it outside and came in. But been up since 3 a.m., drove to Mount Pleasant and back, been to an MDE training all day, and I'm here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Your eyes are doing crazy stuff. So you just, John, you keep B-Stick with us, okay? That's your job. You are on that. I'm going to be on bouncing all over the place with these guys, because this year's con, I think, Mark, might be your most diverse booking so far.
I think so. I would agree with that. Yeah, I mean, you know, the Godzilla thing is really odd. I mean, you know, virtually nobody brings that kind of stuff in. And, you know, Jen and I are sticking our necks out a little more this year by bringing in, you know, the problem with doing a con in late October is by the time you show up, you're last. Indiana Comic Con's happened, C2E2's happened, Motor City has happened, all the Wizard World shows in the Midwest have happened. Most of the big anime shows have happened, with the exception of YumaCon. So we have, if we can't do the same thing everyone else has done, you know, like every show this year had Stranger Things. You notice we didn't go near it this year. And the reason was really simple. Every other show had somebody from it, so I didn't go near it. You know, and that's the big trick with this, is trying to figure out what you're going to do that's going to make yourself stand out a little bit. So. Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that stands out to me is that you know, a lot of cons just kind of plod forward. You book the popular guests. You nail the, you know, oh, yeah, we got this guy from this TV show. You listen to what works or to what panels people are going to. And the big ones that have been packed for us, I guess, as Court of Nerds moderators, and John, feel free to chime in on this, have been voice actors, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And people have loved that. So you're bringing in Mike McFarland, Attack on Titan, One Piece, and Dragon Ball Z.
Right.
Jason Spezak from Young Justice. He's Deadpool. He's the Joker. And I think the crown jewel to a lot of us is Jim Cummings.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep.
Brittany, do you want to talk about Jim Cummings? I'll let Mark rest for a minute here. Do you want to talk about it?
No, I'm just really excited. Like, well, growing up, he's been Winnie the Pooh for 20 years now?
Yeah.
20-ish years now?
Darkwing Duck.
Darkwing Duck. Of course, Darkwing Duck. I mean, that was a huge part of my childhood, and I'm really excited to finally get to meet the man behind him. And he's done so much since then. Been in Disney movies, and yeah, it'll be great to have him.
Now, I want to focus on, because what's been kind of cool to me as an anime fan has been the intensity of the anime fans at GR Comic-Con.
Right.
I'm expecting Mike McFarland's panel to be full.
Absolutely. Mark. We're going to put it on main stage this year.
Yep.
I was going to say, after the success of Bryce Papenbrook.
You couldn't sit in that room.
We put him in a 300-seat room. Yeah.
People got mad because I had to turn them away.
I remember you standing in the back turning people away with this sad look on your face. Like, I want to let you in, but I can't.
I can't. Yeah,
because he was in A through C of the main floor, right?
Yeah. Grand Gallery A
through
C.
Yeah, and the 300-seat room wasn't big enough, and I think McFarlane's going to draw better than that. So,
because,
I mean, he's got three major ones. I mean, he's the lead antagonist on One Piece with Buggy the Clown. He's the leader of the clown pirate ship. And then you've got Gene in Attack on Titan, which is one of the leads, and the big one, Master Roshi in the Dragon Ball franchise.
Right.
Which is really unusual. Plus, he's unusual. This is not a guy you see in anime shows. I'm sorry.
No, you're okay.
This is not a guy you see in anime shows. This isn't the guy that you see at those things.
Right.
I mean, he just doesn't go to very many. I think we're the only appearance this year on the side of the entire Mississippi River.
That's awesome.
I think we are. I know at Jason Spezak, we're the only one he's done on this side of the Mississippi ever.
Well, and Jason's got to be getting a lot of attention now with the announcement of season 3 of Young Justice.
Right.
So, and for those that missed that announcement, season 3 of Young Justice! I'm so excited. Young Justice is one of those cartoons that if you liked it, you loved it.
Right.
There's no two ways about it. And Spezak was just such a great character on the show and such a great voice actor in general.
As Kid Flash, yeah.
Yeah. Kid Flash. I mean, I would say, and I hopefully will get a chance to say this too, Jason, he created a generation of WALL-E fans.
Absolutely.
Like, there weren't that many people that were big, you know, everyone, Barry Allen was their Flash. But now you talk to people like our own Ben Raven, mm-hmm. WALL-E is his Flash. And that's super cool to me, that you're right. We've got these iconic embodiments of these characters that are going to be at Grand Rapids Comic Con.
Right. And another thing about the Young Justice thing, which is really neat, is the two founders of the show are going to be there in Brandon Vietti and Greg Weisman. So, you know, their panels will be very interesting, we're sure, because these are two of the lead animation producers in the world right now.
Yeah.
I mean, Brandon Vietti, just look at his roster of things he's directed or produced. I mean, Superman Doomsday, he was the director of Batman Under the Red Hood, which a lot of people argue is the best Batman movie of the last 10 years. You know, he's done quite a bit of really cool stuff. So, you know, so he's got a lot. And then Brandon Vietti, I mean, he was co-founded Young Justice, but also was the guy who created the Gargoyles franchise in the 90s. So, you know, and then he also was a producer for the first year of Star Wars Rebels. So there's a lot of neat stuff with him as well. And they're both signing autographs for free all weekend.
Really?
Yeah, both of them are going to sign for free all weekend. So make sure to bring your DVDs and your Blu-rays of the movies they produced or directed, or, you know, or, you know, full seasons of stuff like Young Justice, or, you know, with Vietti, Brandon Vietti, he directed a lot of episodes of The Batman Strikes, and Batman Brave and the Bold. So if you've got those, bring those with you. And we're going to see if we can get some stuff from DC in terms of promotional posters and that kind of thing. I'm hoping we can.
Yeah. I mean, Under the Red Hood was one of those, I want to call it a turning point movie for DC animation.
It was a wonderful film.
It was a great film. And it's when they realized they can basically make straight from comic to screen films animated, and people are going to eat them up.
Yep.
I mean, Under the Red Hood was a smashing success for DC animation.
And they didn't screw with it, unlike they did with The Killing Joke.
Right.
The Killing Joke, they screwed with it, and what happened? The fans hated it. Batman Under the Red Hood, they just took the comic, said, this is what we're going to do, and film it. And it worked. And you had to love the ending of that movie. It was so cryptic, where you got the young Jason Todd Robin. He jumps on the top of the card and puts his arms on his hips, you know, that classic superhero pose, and this is the best day of my life. And you know what's going to happen later, and you're like, oh, no, it's not, Jason.
No.
No, it's not.
People are going to...
What a great ending. What a great ending.
And again, Vietti hasn't just dabbled in the Batman universe. John, you'll love this. Guess what one of his more recent directorial efforts was? The Jetsons... Robo WrestleMania.
Yeah. Yup, he did that. He also did the two Scooby-Doo movies where Shaggy and Scooby solve crimes with the Undertaker.
That's right.
He did both of those too.
I watched those.
You really? Wrestling. Oh. Wait a minute, Brittany. You've seen those and John hasn't?
Scooby-Doo.
Scooby-Doo. That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Scooby-Doo, man, he's had the coolest roster of people he's worked with. I mean, think about it. Did a movie with Batman and Robin. He did one with Kiss. He did. I mean, he did stuff with the Jetsons. He did stuff with I think there was one where they did stuff with the Munsters.
Yep, there just was some one with the Munsters.
Crazy
Harlem
stuff. Harlem Globetrotters. I mean, Scooby-Doo's a pimp.
Scooby's got it going on.
He's got it going on, man.
John, you might say Scooby-Doo's on the come up.
He is.
Scooby-Doo's on the come up. It's true. Rolls big. Of course, we're talking with Mark Hodges and our friend B-Stick from Grand Rapids Comic Con. Lots to talk about with this year's con, of course. Expanding, Mark, into the Amway Grand now this year.
Yes. We are moving the gaming area over there because we want to turn the gaming area into not just a few thousand square foot rooms. We want to actually turn it into its own. Have its feel like it's its own conference. And we have three ballrooms that about 12,000 square feet. Is that right, Brittany?
Yeah.
About 12,000 square feet. And we've already reserved more space than that for next year. Mm-hmm. So for the gamers, because there's a lot of them, there's a lot of people who go to the show. They go to the gaming room and they basically stay there all day. They might venture over to get some food or they might venture over to go shop a little bit. But generally speaking, they hit that gaming room and they stay there. And there's a good percentage of people that do that. So we felt that let's give them their own area. I know some of them are going to complain, it's a 5-minute walk in between the buildings. But,
exercise never hurt anybody.
Well, that...
I disagree. It's hurt a lot of people.
Maybe Drew.
My knees would tell you that it hurts people. But, there's another thing with it that, you look at other Comic Cons and look at the gaming rooms they have, and there's no comparison. There just isn't. We run one of the best gaming rooms in the Midwest for a Comic Con. I mean, I'm not comparing us to Yuma or Shudokan, who run fantastic gaming rooms, and of course, I'm not going to put us in the same level as Origins, but for a Comic Con, our gaming room is pretty good.
Solid. Yeah, speaking of good and solid, your list of the gold, silver, and, of course, other age guests is solid. Gold, silver, and bronze age comic artists.
I thought this year it was solid, yes.
It's incredibly solid. I mean, one of the guys that I want to focus on real quick is Tony Isabella, who created Black Lightning, and now Black Lightning's going to be a series for the CW.
Correct. And that's just one of those things where sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. We've been having Tony at the show since 2014. He came in 14. He came in 16. He lives in Cleveland, Ohio, so he's close. And we've been a show that's always treated him really well, and he's written very nice blogs about us. He's been very nice about us. Now all of a sudden, he's a big shot, and his contract didn't change at all. He says, you were good to me when I was just another guy who had a washed-up career, and now he's like, now it's not anymore. So he's been real good about, he's been really good to us. So, and he's another guy who's going to be moving from a 200-person panel room to main stage.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We're going to have to put him on main stage. I don't know where we're going to put all these main stage people. We're just going to figure it out.
We're going to have a lot of main stages. That's Brittany's job.
Some of them are telling me that they have to be in certain stages, right. So those I'll basically tell you. But
let's take a minute here, Brittany. Let's talk about what it is you do at Comic-Con, because we've had you on the podcast before to talk about your fandoms. Because that's
of which are several.
She's got quite
many,
a few.
Many.
But this is part of my favorite thing about the staff of GR Comic-Con is that you're all fans. Everyone's fans. You're
pretty much
what you're doing. So, Brittany, what exactly is your role besides lieutenant?
Besides Mark's lieutenant, it's programming manager is my title.
She bosses me around.
I do. No, that's Jen. That is Jen.
That's true. It's the
that's
wife.
That's Jen. Programming manager. So all the panels, any programming.
You work directly with us a lot.
I do.
Right.
I do.
Which
I got
is unfortunate. We're sorry about
year.
That. Yeah.
But you helped me a lot last year running things smoothly, too, so.
Yes.
Well, right, but that's kind of the cool thing about Grand Rapids Comic Con, if anyone wants to peek behind the curtain for a minute here, is that everyone works together to make this the best experience possible for the people coming. There's no egos involved at this con. There's no one who, behind the scenes, Mark is the grand poobah, he knows he answers to Brittany when Brittany wants to break him down. You know,
it's pretty much the way it rolls. That's true.
And you know, we might be the high-flying panel moderators, but when somebody comes to us and says, hey, we need you guys to do this. We need you to tell the guests this. Okay, cool. When management for one of the celebrities, we had it with, I think it was Will Travol last year after his panel. Mm-hmm. People kept coming up to try and take photos with him, and we had to kind of be like, hey, you know, you guys have to let him get to his booth. He'll be there to take photos because that's what it's for.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all in the interest of making things run smoothly for everyone.
That's right.
We all understand we're all in it together. We have a common goal, and this is how we're going to get to the goal is working together. So.
Plus, in addition, I think that one thing this group really understands, too, is it's not our show.
No.
It isn't.
No.
It's not. It's the community show. We just are caretaking it. And We understand that. We understand where the bread is buttered, so to speak. Because without the fan base, this is a bankrupt institution, and we know that. So we do our best to accommodate the fan base and to make sure that we're doing what the fan base wants us to do the best we can. I mean, you can't do everything everybody requests. I don't know how many times I hear, can you book Tom Hiddleston?
Yeah, we all wish.
We all wish.
I can buy 4 Audis a day for what he would cost me a day. Seriously, no. Yeah. Nothing personal to Mr. Hiddleston, but, the only shows that are booking him are the things like San Diego and Comey Cat in Japan and things like that that are, you know, literally a couple hundred thousand people a day. So
one of your big guests this year is Jim Steranko.
Right.
Who has, he is a comic book Hall of Famer.
Absolutely.
Nick Fury, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. I mean, Comic Fandom's Alley Award Hall of Fame back in 1969. This guy is, for lack of better words, he's comic book OG.
He is. And the thing about him is, the thing that makes him unique is you have really 2 types of history with comics. You have more of your classic, where it's just straight panel.
Right,
know,
talking head,
occasional fist fight, and that kind of thing. And then you have your more modern look today, where they're more art. Jim Steranko was the guy who crossed it from classic to art. And you read any history book on comic books, that's what it's going to tell you. That's the guy who first brought graphic design into comics. The very first guy who did it. Because, I mean, even if you look at some of the real old ways they drew them, they'd even put the panels in before they even drew anything. And Steranko didn't do that. He threw the panels away and said, we don't need these panels. We're going to do it this way. And, you know, and he was literally the only artist doing it. So that's really neat with him. Plus, if you've ever heard this guy in a panel, this guy is a hoot. He's basically the Hugh Hefner of the comic book world in terms of he has that kind of attitude. You know, not necessarily that he's, you know, got 50 women in his
but he might. Who knows?
He might. Hey,
he might. I don't know.
It's Steranko. He very well might.
Dude, yeah, right. I mean, the last name just screams Hefner-esque. Hello.
Exactly.
I'm Steranko.
I am Steranko.
Right? Like a Russian secret agent. But is this going to be the first Comic-Con guest we've ever had who's had art displayed in the Louvre?
Probably. I don't know how many comic guests have had art displayed in the Louvre outside of Steranko.
Yeah. I'm just saying, that's a big one. You know, you say the Louvre and people, even John, who is not the most cultured of humans.
Oh, I know what the Louvre is.
You know what the Louvre is, though.
Hey,
yeah. I'm not trying to insult you. I'm trying to say, you know.
Been in a bunch of movies.
It's got the what? Step up to the mic. Yeah, it's got the
glass pyramid.
The glass pyramid. Yes, John.
Yes.
It's that glass pyramid place.
Tom Hanks was there in the movie.
Yeah.
We've also got a bunch of other ones that are cool like
I
that,
know.
Too. Mike Zeck is coming in, who did Secret Wars and Kraven's Last Hunt, which is probably one of the definitive Spider-Man stories.
It's absolutely. I mean, our own Ben Raven is Braven the Hunter from a lot of those things.
Yeah. And then we've all, you know, we've already mentioned Tony Isabella, but, you know, Jose Delbo is another one who did Yellow Submarine. He did Wonder Woman for a long time. So all the people who are who loved the Wonder Woman film, this is the guy who was drawing it in the 70s. He was the guy who started drawing it when people, they know their comic history. You know, there was the classic Wonder Woman. And then in the late 60s, DC got the idea of let's take away Wonder Woman's powers, put her in a jumpsuit and have her do kung fu. And the reason they did that is because the way she was dressed, of course, you know, they felt that they were, you know, that they should give the feminist community more of the superhero they thought they deserved. Then Gloria Steinem came in the picture and was like, no, you morons, give us back Wonder Woman. Give us back the bikini bottom, large-chested Wonder Woman with blocking the bullets and the superpowers. Give us that back. So DC said okay, and Jose Delbo was one of the first people to work on that when it was brought back, the classic Wonder Woman was returned. So he's got a unique history, too, plus drawing the Beatles' Yellow Submarine. That's sort of neat in its own respect, too, because that is pretty iconic art. So, especially to, of course, Beatle fans. So
absolutely, and you've got art not just for the adults, you've got art for the kids this year, too.
Yep. Well, that's something we try to do every year. And to be honest, finding the kid artist is harder.
Really?
Because there aren't as many of them. And the ones, and then there's a lot of them, like, say, Shannon Hale right now is somebody. I'd love to get Shannon Hale next year. We tried to get her this year. It's very difficult. Not that she's been bad or anything. She's been writing us back and all that. It's just scheduling issue. And then try to get somebody from DC's, what's it called, Superhero Friends, which has all the super, you know, all the women, but all like they're all like DC in junior high school girls, or something.
Yeah,
Supergirl Squad, I think it's called.
Superhero
Girls. And
I bought the books for my niece.
Squad is a Marvel product.
Okay, excuse me.
Yeah.
Sorry there, comic
guys. You're crossing the streams, man.
Across the streams. No one wants that. But, you know, I've been trying to get artists from that, too, because our show is a perfect fit. But, oh boy, it's tough. A lot of them, you just, you know, they're so swamped with work, and they're so swamped with requests from people like us. So it makes it difficult. So, but we try, and we keep plugging away at it. And the bigger the show gets, the more likely they say yes. So
you know, bring your friends, okay?
Yeah. So we keep plugging away at it.
I mean, you guys have Thomas Zeller who does My Little Pony.
My Little Pony.
Yeah, which I think Grant's daughter Rory is going to freak out about.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Brittany and I's little 2-year-old best friend, almost 3-year-old best friend, Ren is going to freak out. She's a big pony fan. And that's kind of the cool thing to me is it's the way that you've booked this, Mark, just makes it so easy to bring anyone to this show.
Right.
It's not a show just for anime fans. It's not a show just for old school superhero fans.
Nope.
You know, it's not a show for dudes who want to go ogle cosplayers. You know? That's not.
Although there are guys that do that, too.
Right. So you're going to get a few bad apples in every bunch.
Well, it's just reality of the show, yeah.
But you have no bad apples in your cosplayer group. I mean, everyone you've got lined up, you know, Nightmage, Supercase, Chaotic Neutral, Sweets for a Sweet, you know, Carmada. Everyone is just great.
Right, and I'm careful with the cosplayers with picking. And this is no slight toward anybody who cosplays. But some of the more, quote, professional cosplayers, sometimes it's more about who you are compared to, you know, like, for instance, with Nightmage, he does tons of charity work, tons of it. Supercase and him do tons of stuff together. Carmada does tons of charity work in the Detroit area. And that's really what I don't want to say judge them by. That's the wrong word. That's how when I pick them, I look at that. To be honest, to me, that's more important is, you know, because if you got this talent, you know, there's Uncle Ben says great power comes great responsibility. We've all heard that a million times. But when they've got this kind of thing going on and they use that skill for a positive thing, like the Cosplay Crusader group that is now in Grand Rapids.
Yeah.
That is wonderful. What a wonderful organization. They take this
great skill that they have in making their costuming. And they give back to the community by visiting hospitals and working with kids and charity fundraising and all. It's a great organization. And I think that if you've got that kind of skill, I think that as a cosplayer, you should sort of figure out how to use it for a positive. Be a superhero in your own way. You just don't have to go fight crime and come home with big bruises or anything.
Exactly.
Right, yeah. No need to go out and get your ass kicked. Just go to a hospital and hug kids.
That's right. But you're still a superhero in your own way.
Yeah. So you're absolutely right.
That's important, and that's why I like with the cosplayers. Plus, of course, we also look at do they have skill. Chaotic Neutral this year won the armor division at C2E2, which is a national contest. And Michael is Nightmage, I call him by his real name. He's probably the premier male cosplayer in the United States right now.
He's insane.
His stuff is
super crazy.
And his stuff's ridiculous. Awesome. And Super Case does beautiful work, and she's in very high demand. And another one is a local one is Envy the Green Fairy, who does Wonder Woman. She's setting up a cosplay room for us this year, so the cosplayers can actually have a little place to escape this year. Because, I said I watched a guy last year who was dressed as Captain America. I'm not sure who he was. His costume was great. He looked fantastic. This poor guy goes in to eat. He sits down at a table and takes off his mask and sits down to have a hot dog and fries, okay? Literally every 20 to 30 seconds, someone comes up to the table and, hey, will you pose for me for a picture? Sure, and he stands up, and he puts the mask back on, and he does his pose, and 20 people run over and shoot his picture, and then he sits down, and somebody comes into the room, and they go up to him, and this poor guy didn't get to eat. And I sit there, and I looked at that, and I was like, that's not fair. So what we're doing is we created a room where they can go. They might have to carry their lunch across the room a little bit, which is fine, and they can go in there. No cameras allowed in there at all, none, zero. We won't, even our staff photographers are not allowed to go in that room. There's going to be, and you have to be in cosplay to go in there. It's a place for them to escape. And then we're also going to have mirrors, so if someone wants to touch their makeup up, they can do that. There's going to be a repair station so that, I ripped a hem out of my skirt or something. They can get that fixed. And we're even going to have a couple changing rooms where, like, say, someone steps on the back of your Cinderella dress and takes the whole back out. You can go in there, take the dress off, and we'll have a couple robes so you can, keep your modesty. And I didn't want them running around in their underwear.
Whatever you guys want to do.
And then they can get stuff fixed, and we're actually working with one of the sewing machine shops in town, which will actually have a seamstress in the room all the time. At least we're hoping that's going to work out. We'll have a seamstress in there during show hours all weekend so that if you need to have something professionally fixed, you can get it fixed. Then we're also going to provide things like a hot glue gun, a soldering iron, things that are used in the practice. And Envy is making that list for us so that when we go and buy all this stuff, we're buying the right stuff. Because I'm not a cosplayer, and there's things that they might need that I would never think of in 100 years, like a soldering iron. I wouldn't have thought of that, but she's like, oh, that's important. And she gave me a whole diatribe on why I had to have a
soldering. I bet she did.
She would know. We know her quite well.
Yeah.
She gave us a diatribe on this is why you need a soldering iron. I didn't question her. I'm like, okay. Put a soldering iron on there.
Yep.
I've learned very quickly you don't question her.
No, because she knows cosplay like the back of her hand. Oh, probably knows it better than the back of her hand, to be quite honest. So, and that's awesome. I mean, Mia's fantastic. Great woman.
Yeah.
So we're happy she's on our side.
Yes. You know what? I would agree with that. Yeah. Someone else I'm happy is on your side is Tom and Chi coming back this year to
bring
food.
Tom and Chi's coming back.
I'm very excited about that. I love a good grilled cheese on a donut.
Who doesn't?
It's un-American not to. That's all I'm going to say about that.
And that's something that we've gotten a lot of credit for from fans is because, I don't know how many of you guys go to a lot of shows, but generally speaking, when you go to a show, your choices are... I was at a show this weekend in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And my choice was really simple. Boiled hot dogs, burnt pizza, burnt burgers, and a very dry barbecue. That was the entrees. And, when you look at something like that and you go... What if I'm vegetarian? There's literally nothing. Even their fries, because there was a vegetarian in front of me, asked, what do you fry stuff in? Animal fat? Oh, vegetarian can't have that. Yep. This poor guy had to just walk away from the snack bar and just chose not to eat until he went home. And I don't think that's fair. I think you should have options. So that's why we work with the Amway to have that fresh food area we had last year. And we're doing it again. So for you people who want a salad, you can still have a salad. Or you want a bowl of ramen, you can still do that. There will be the, you know, the three snack bars for the people who want burgers and fries and all those kind of things. That's still going to be there. And then Tom and Chi, which is, I think, is a really neat option, too, because they make everything fresh right there. And boy, do they have lines. Ooh. But they're pretty quick. So it's good.
It's good stuff, man. It's good eats at Comic-Con. It's a good time at Comic-Con.
We're trying.
You're doing a great job. And you guys are so humble about it. That's my favorite part. I try most days to get Brittany to say something cocky, and I can't. It is impossible. And Mark, we've had you on the podcast. I've lost count of how many times now.
At least a dozen, probably.
At least a dozen. And it's always you talking up the other people involved in the con. It's always you talking up the guests, talking up the community,
right.
Talking up how much West Michigan supports this Comic-Con.
Right.
And it's great to see, man. It's great to know that, you know, this many years in, it hasn't lost the impact that it had the first year.
I think it's getting a bigger impact, to be honest. And I really do. I think that, you know, now that we're doing significant charity work this year with the Toys for Tots campaign.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And Brittany has brought up that, because Brittany, a lot of people would know.
What I do?
Works. This is something you brought up. That,
what did I do? It was good.
Well,
what I do
well Brittany, as people may you may know, works at a school district.
Yep.
And teachers, I think they sort of get screwed in this respect because teachers are buying a lot of their own supplies. And to be honest, that's sort of ridiculous that a teacher's making, what, 40 grand a year? And then they have to spend a couple grand a year buying their kids pencils and that kind of thing.
Yep.
And it's sort of ridiculous. So we've been bouncing around next year doing like some kind of school supply campaign, trying to figure out how that's going to run. That might be something we do off of show, but it might be something we do with show too. I don't know. You and I still have to hack all that out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but that's not this year.
That's not this year. But the Toys for Tots campaign is. And that came up because of a simple thing. I read an article on Christmas Day last year where the Toys for Tots campaign in Detroit was shorthanded for Toys for Kids 8 to 14, especially boys. And I thought, gee, that sort of sucks. Then it occurred to me, we have a 100,000-square-foot vending hall filled with this stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, filled with this stuff. And we thought, well, we can't help Detroit too much because, you know, they do it county by county. But we sure can make sure that's not a problem in this area. And then maybe they can send the leftovers over to Detroit. So we're doing the Toys for Tots campaign. We're going to be the annual kickoff for it. We've agreed to do that long term. And we're going to encourage people that come to the show to bring a toy with them. You don't have to break the bank. It doesn't have to be a $500 toy or anything ridiculous. You know, $5, $10 item is fine. And we're asking people that when they consider what they want to buy, to consider the fact that boys 8 to 14, traditional boy toys 8 to 14. Yes, we know girls can play with Captain America and Batman. We know that. But, you know, the traditional end, we're asking people to consider that when they're thinking about what to bring. Plus, there's always the just spend $5 or $10 of your spending money and go in the vending hall and buy something.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And there will be a giant vending hall. And to be honest, that helps the show. Because then if the vendors make money, they tend to come back. And it's important that the vendors make money at these shows. And it's not us trying to tell you to empty your wallets or anything.
No, but spend money.
But, yeah, well, yes. But if the vendors are making money, they tend to come back. And you got to remember, with us having Ticketmaster, we don't get to see any of the money for ticket sales until 10 days after the event is over. So we basically finance the show on sponsors and vendors. So it's important that the vendors keep coming back because without them, there is no show. So that is something that people, you know, is important. So, and that's one way that you can do it and give back to a charity at the same time. Go in the vending hall, find a $5 to $10 item, pick it up and drop it off at the donation booth. And we're still working on the details for this, but we're going to do we're going to do a drawing if you donate to Toys for Tots. This will give some people incentive to do it. And
we're gonna draw one name over the weekend, and the winner is going to get, and we don't have all the details done yet, but we'll tell you that the winner is going to get a VIP package to the show next year. And it's not just VIP tickets. It's going to be a hotel at the Amway. It's going to be limo service. You're going to get coupons at various restaurants downtown. You're going to get into several events at the show for free that cost extra after hours, things of that nature. So you're basically going to get this giant VIP package. You know, one person that gets drawn will be able to get that. So, you know, and that's something that we're working with a bunch of downtown people, and then of course we're kicking in and all that as well, to make that happen so that it gives an incentive for everybody to say, yeah, you know what, I think that, you know, who cares about the poor kids? I want to enter the contest. You know, there's going to be some people who are going to be like that, and that's fine. You know, they're helping the kids out.
I wish people could see Brittany's reaction right now.
But Brittany, you know there's going to be somebody that's going to think that.
She's
like,
I know.
Brittany's like, Mark, you were doing so good.
But the kids.
No, it's good. I mean, I don't want you to think, you know, I don't want you to think that, you know, we don't care about that, because we do, of course. We wouldn't be doing a Toys for Tots campaign if we didn't care. You know, but there's going to be people that are going to be like, well, heck, I'm going to enter the contest. Or people will be like, I'll buy two toys instead of one. Right. You know, they made their donation, but the second one is to better their odds.
Hey, you know what? Whatever they're doing, as long as it's helping kids, who cares why they're doing it, right?
Okay.
And results all the same.
And that's what the charity stuff we're trying to do, too, is we're trying to, you know, it's really easy to politicize events. It's really easy to, you know, have events get too much religious tie in them and those kind of things. And so we're trying to pick charities that don't have any of those kind of ties. And kid charities, I mean, who's against kid charities?
Right. You know? Who's like, no, I really hate kids.
I mean, nobody. So we figured, and plus with what we do, it's a kid-oriented business. I mean, we're all big kids. It's just the truth.
I really am a big child.
I think I am.
Yeah.
I'm a man-child. I openly admit it.
Right.
So
I have toys on my desk at work that the kids are confused why they can't play with.
So. Those are collectibles.
Take them out of the box. All at once. That's like when my son asks John, Uncle John, why can't we play with the Legos?
Because they're on the shelf, Isaac. Don't touch them.
Don't touch them. Those are Uncle John's toys.
Those don't come apart like every other one of yours.
Oh, it's true.
It's everywhere.
Yes.
Well, listen, Mark, we could talk to you all night. We won't, but because I'm guessing the boss wants you home at some point.
She's not home till 9:30, so I'm not.
Oh, okay, all right. Well, maybe we'll go get a drink or something. But Grand Rapids Comic Con, October 20th through the 22nd, DeVos and Amway taking over downtown. You guys are like Hydra, man. You just keep spawning off into different tentacles, taking over downtown.
Don't be surprised if we're in three or four buildings next year.
What? See, Hydra spawning.
Don't be surprised.
Like, Brittany's shaking her head. Brittany, I have to do this to John all the time. It is not a visual medium. You have to use your words.
I know.
Is that just you internally stressing about trying to run four buildings?
No. Okay. No, it was the
height. We increase staff every year. I'm sure Brittany will attest that I give them the resources they need to get things done.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that we do that. And, you know, we're not afraid to, because, you know, we could be making a lot more money at this if we wanted to be greedy, but I don't see a point in that.
Awesome.
I think that it's important, you know, and that's why the tickets are $10 cheaper than every other major Comic-Con in the Midwest. And
I was talking to people at my work about, people were like, so how much are tickets for this thing? And I was telling them, they were like, no, that's, it's not, no, they've got to be more than that. I was like, no, they're really not. Like, GR Comic-Con tickets are, I mean, it's $45 for a 3-day pass. Yeah. That's ridiculous. Yeah.
Well, we don't see a point in fleecing people. The way I look at it is if we do a fair event at an honest price, people will come, and I think that's been proven.
Yeah.
You know, we give you a good event, we're fair, and I, you know, and like this year, I'm expecting a lot more than we had last year, and I think that's pretty safe judging from what we're seeing. Ticket sales over at Ticketmaster were way up over last year, so we're pretty confident that this is going to do really, really well.
Well, we're looking forward to trying to ask Billy Dee Williams what his secret meeting with Donald Glover was like.
Oh, yeah.
But until then, guys, get your fix on Facebook and Twitter. Follow and like Grand Rapids Comic Con.
Please.
It's the best way to get up-to-date information from you guys on everything that's going on. So do that. Check out grcomiccon.com. And we'll see you in October at the show. Mark, I'm sure we'll see you again before that.
I could come in again, sure.
All right, we'll figure something
out.
And
Brittany can always come in, too. She knows pretty much everything going on. So.
We'll just wrangle Brittany.
Yep.
We're just going to bring a tape recorder to a bar with Brittany. That's what's going to happen.
Look, that's fine, too.
Yeah, right?
Probably be, yeah.
By the way, before we go, we just got to make sure to mention, be sure you pick up the new Dark Knights medal from DC Comics this week. They were kind enough to send us a preview. We've all basically read it, and it's freaking insanely good.
Eye-melting, fantastic. Check
face,
out the preview.
Like Indiana Jones face-melting style. Get the yeah, check out the articles at thecourtofnerds.com. We have reviews, we have previews, and of course, we're going to have
heard nothing but
thoughts.
Wonderful things about that series.
Yeah, oh, it's going to be super good. So, pick up
like,
those books.
Like a game changer.
And pick up your Comic-Con tickets while you're picking up your books, huh?
Yeah,
Sparky.
Vault to Midnight, Tardies, Comic Signal in Rockford, and any gaming warehouse location.
There you go.
Grand Rapids will have tickets.
So until then, I'm Drew.
I'm John.
And we are your Court of Nerds.
Hey, I'm Ben with the Court of Nerds. Sometimes I say things with my mouth and write things with my fingers. You can find us on Facebook. We're the Court of Nerds on Twitter at court_of_nerds and our website, thecourtofnerds.com.